Evening.
Evening.
We carried home number 21. And strangely, I've got the cards that Rodney gave me that has each one of these, and you shuffle them and then take one every day. And I kept getting this one. This one. Like, okay. I'll do my best. Always maintain only a joyful mind. I learned a lot about it. And realized that there was a lot about it that I hadn't really understood, especially around the subject of pain and what pain does to your brain, and creates a kind of cloud of it's not joyful, it's just a kind of something's a little off. And then, when you realize it, you think, oh, that's all that is. It's just one element of what's going on, so it doesn't have to happen that way. Look around and everything is fine. So I've learned a lot about how to be with this body this week and let it be what it wants to be, but recognize what's going on with it. There's there's a feeling of not rightness because we've been taught that, and I think it's inherent in us that we have to do something and fix something, but at a certain point it's not necessary to do that and it's not possible. And so then a different kind of mind has to go into effect, one of accepting how things are. And then it's a joyful mind. It's a grateful mind. There's this old buddy, my body. It's doing fine. But I learned better how to be with it. And I wonder what you all found in it. I mean, there are all different ways that this can be read and understood, but that's how it came down for me.
Situation which I know everybody here practically knows about, where we've been having some work being done on our house for a while, and it's taking always does take longer than you think. But my husband and I have had this kind of back and forth. You know, some days it's been everything's great and it's really moving, and then you know it'll be oh my gosh, you know, nothing's going well. And even the contractor has seemed really dejected. And we finally come to a place, sort of the three of us, where we're sort of, it just seems to have turned around, where even though it's there are problems and slowdowns, there's some kind of joy that's bubbling up, at least I think in my husband and myself. And I think it might be rubbing off a little on our contractor, that we see how good he is and how skilled he is and how careful everything is that he's doing. And instead of being upset with him for taking so long, we're starting to learn from him. And he's showing now, so that we're doing some little menial things. He's showing us stuff, and it's kind of become a whole different thing than this person hanging us up. So maybe that is an expression of this it didn't come out of, strictly speaking, meditation practice, but it came from just sort of recognizing the good parts of the place, this position we're in now.
Exactly, yeah. Well, of course, this is all about how we bring it into our life and how we relate with other people and put up with things that we don't like so much and find the goodness in it. That's a perfect example.
It's sort of surprise. It's very surprising, but it's quite. It's just kind of because now he's starting to show my husband things about how to do wiring, and I mean it's almost like this unforeseen aspect of teaching and learning that's taking place. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of cool.
It's very cool.
I'm sure we'll have our days again where we just say, "Oh my gosh," you know, and he will too, but. It just was sort of seemingly negative situation transforming. I think is something that I can relate to this teaching.
Mm-hmm. And we can come back to this over and over again. It made me come back to it actually, so I'm in the habit of it now.
Yeah, you had to.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example. It'll get done one of these days.
Oh yeah, it will. And we'll be sort of sorry now to see this phase go. Now you know,
yes.
it's a precious moment, so
yes.
we're just gonna enjoy it.
I remember some time ago, I was having my car worked on, and it was taking longer than I expected. And the mechanic said to me, "You're being pretty cheerful about this." And I said, "Well, would yelling at you make it work faster?" "No." "Okay." There we are.
I bet he'd been yelled at a lot of
exactly.
times.
Exactly. So why not give him some positive feedback?
Yes.
Surprised the heck out of
him. Yeah, I didn't know what to do with it.
I guess that's how Yelp got its name.
Yeah.
It is?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, thank you for sharing this B.A. Wallace perspective. That I think it's more helpful than Chim Young's just kind of it's back in the 70s sometimes.
Yeah, well,
tripping along, but
yes.
I liked what Wallace said about the difference between compassion and sadness.
Yes.
I mean, I watch the news a lot. I don't know how much suffering there is in the news these days in all of these countries. And I always feel so blessed that but not to be sad about this suffering, that would lead to inaction and despair. He offers Tonglen as a better approach.
Well, of course, despair doesn't help.
Right, right. I don't know if I go along with this adversity as an ally in the fulfillment of our of wisdom and compassion. But it sounds like you experienced that it's possible.
Yeah, it's surprising talking to people who have true adversity, who, you know, end up being blind or end up losing a child or, you know, really terrible, dreadful kinds of suffering, who end up on the other side of it and find ways of being grateful for, as if the adversity had turned into something that had given them the opportunity to understand in a new way, understand how life is and who they are.
They're grateful for the adversity?
Believe it or not. Especially if the people I know who have come down with cancer, or other physical, really serious physical ailments, that things like that turn out to have a very positive side, for which gratitude just comes rushing up through everything that happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can be grateful for the transformation of the suffering, and then you can compare your suffering to other people's and feel blessed. But you can be grateful for the adversity and the impact it might have had on others. I don't know.
Well, doesn't always work that way, certainly. I think it's good advice not to get overwhelmed by other suffering, as you say. So, the adversity side for ourselves, we're so lucky we don't have very much adversity anyway. We really don't understand it.
That's true.
Yeah. We're so, so lucky. But every now and then lightning strikes, and then we have a choice in what to do with it. And that's where this other thing comes in.
But we shouldn't go around looking for the lightning.
We don't have to. It's any minute.
Okay.
I found that in my own practice, it's helpful to take the adversity as an opportunity to deepen my practice, mm-hmm. to further my growth. And so I have certain things that have happened to me that I, at first, were not grateful for.
Yes.
But it turns out to be a grateful opportunity. And all it does is deepen my gratitude and increase my compassion for others. It works.
Yes.
It's certainly better than being despaired.
Yes.
Because, number one, of course, I'm in control. I'm not letting it happen to me. I'm going to it and approaching it.
Yes.
So, works for me.
Very well said. Very well said. Exactly. That's what Mr. Wallace means, I think. Yeah. Thank
that
you.
Doesn't mean that I wouldn't mind not having it had happen.
Well, of course. There's that part of it,
yes.
too. Yeah. But having had it happen,
there's a way to deal with it that's positive.
Well, I have a very, very good friend who's in Good Sam right now. And his life is very problematic right now. And one of the things that we have bonded over is, I guess you'd say, a sense of humor. And he had brain surgery, and he's been having seizures. And his wife is having a very difficult time with it. She's also a dear friend. And this one part of his brain seems to be not affected at all by the cancer or by the seizures, and that's his sense of humor. So I went in today to see him. He hasn't shaved in 3 weeks. So. And usually he wears... I've only seen him with his glasses on, so now he doesn't have his glasses on. He looks like a 19th century German poet right now. That's the way he looks. So for the next couple of days, I'm going to be at his bedside. And it's kind of hard to say which direction he's going to go, but I don't think his wife is prepared. So, and I don't want him to be by himself, especially in the hospital. And the gravitas of that, you know, and how heavy it hangs. So after I left the hospital today, I gave my son a ring. I needed some father-son time. And that immediately, within seconds of seeing each other, just lightened it. A friend of mine who had passed 3 years ago, his daughter gave birth to twins on Friday. And once again, it was that just an injection of so much joy, just to hear that my dear friend's daughter had given. He died from Parkinson's, and I it was a very long goodbye with him. And I find right now, for whatever reason, it doesn't have to be a reason. It just is. The reality of it is that either my closest friends have died or they're dying, and the sense of the joy. I'm so full of joy about my life and about living. At the same time, the teaching is how not only impermanent it all is and how quickly it all goes. How I've been saying goodbye rather frequently now to things. And to people and to relationships and nurturing new ones and making sure I don't get stuck someplace in some in a sadness that's defeating there's sadness and then there's a sadness that moves into depression, I think, and it's very counterproductive. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're in some place that's very dark. I think depression is AKA darkness. So anyway, that's where I'm at right now with everything. And once again, I just feel that what we've been reading has been so very helpful. It's the antidote that I see where other people I see myself in these other people that if without training and without practice, how hard it is to get through certain things, unless you're just an exceptional human being. I consider myself very ordinary in that regard, and that, you know, having the teaching is very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Get us through those really difficult times in our lives.
It's very true.
So.
Yeah, it just can seem totally bewildering and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy making. What is it all about, and why is it happening to me, and all of those things. And it takes that extra step, that extra, I don't know what it is, but an extra kind of knowing that brings us around to a safer place, a wiser place. Well, I'm sorry, Jeffrey, that you're going through so many of these. It's all happening.
I'm not at all. I don't have any anxiety per se about any of it.
Yeah.
Because so much of it has been happening to me. I sense that it's a great preparation and a great aid into my own experience of death.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like, and that's where I've tried to align what's happening in my life to this, you know, to my relationships with these people.
Yeah.
They're all teachers. They, each one has been different. Each one has been unique.
Mm.
Each one's been heartfelt, and that idea of really staying open to what is going on, because every situation is so unique. But I feel like I've really been growing as a human being.
Mm.
And so thankful for this practice that I have. And that's the gratitude that comes out when we have these discussions, but life, it doesn't unfold like a discussion. It's, you know, it's trying to find that hospital room, trying to talk to a distraught person, mm-hmm. trying to talk to a clinical nurse, or, you know, all these different kinds of energies that are presenting themselves to you. And it's 110 degrees, and, you know, whatever it
yes.
is. There are all these things that sort of meld together and make the reality what it is.
Right.
So, yeah, now, just ever so grateful that I have Tuesday nights mm-hmm. with you and my Sangha friends and this.
Yes.
And trying to imagine what that would be like without it just does not, I don't know, it baffles me, actually, to consider the alternative. So I'm forever joyful I have this practice.
Yay. Yeah.
I was listening to Blanche Hartman today on she's doing this thing with loving kindness, and, you know, it's so fortunate to have so many teachers, and sometimes just one sentence from one tape can make all the difference in the world, and how all of a sudden something you're experiencing, you can give some kind of clarity, and all of a sudden there's this clarity about your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really quite wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Is there anything else about this one? Not that we'll ever get beyond it, but we can step to the side and go on to number 22. If you can practice even when distracted, you are well trained. So what Wendy said is what Wallace said about adversity being no longer adversity. If it's not experienced as adversity. So that's the meaning of this, that you don't let whatever's happening distract you from practice. As you say, the practice is what sustains us. It's not that we turn away from practice as soon as something difficult happens. It's the opposite. We make very good use of what we've learned and what we learn over and over again as we practice zazen. And let that be our refuge. Refuge is right inside. So this finishes up the fifth point, which the fifth point was very small. There were just those few things. You would think it would be the biggest one because it's the one about meditation and how helpful meditation is, but actually it's the shortest one. But if you take this one this coming week, since some of us are going to be practicing real hard this next week, this will be useful. And certainly during Sesshin, there are many distractions that give us many excuses to run away or change the subject. And so this is a chance to not only practice, but to use our good training and make the very big most of it. So that there's no need for renunciation if we lose our grip, is what he's talking about here. The sudden surprise of losing our grip, that it's not about us, but that it's just about how awake we are, how willing we are to stay present with what is happening, not what we want to be happening, hoping and wishing to have happen. So he said, it's not a perfection thing. He said, in other words, even if you're drifting off, if that process of drifting off can bring you back, that's the mark of perfect practice. Imperfect practice is perfect practice. So not to worry. It says alertness could be a fundamental frame of mind. Just stay awake. Just be with it. And also take care of yourself. Be very mindful of your own needs as you face whatever adversity comes. It works both ways. And it's important not to lose your grip on your own life as you find ways to connect with others and fulfill whatever is needed in any situation. So we'll finish this up next week, week after next, and go on to point six, which are the disciplines of mind training, which is about Prajnaparamita. And there are lots of little pointers, lots and lots of little pointers. Which is how we finish up and sort of gives us lots of pointers to live by. In terms of discipline, it's important to remember too. It takes discipline and care. So, are there questions?
So, are you anticipate being here next Tuesday?
No.
Ellie has offered to be here if there are those of you who would like to sit. Because a lot of us are going to be up at Sashin. Sayo's going to be there. I will be there up there.
I'll sit with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You don't know who else will show up either.
Pardon me?
You don't know who else will show up.
Yeah.